I'd rather take my chances with a rusty penknife and a mirror. Whatever, just so long as you do it before you go wacko. The kid was already dragging Quirrenbach through the partition into the room beyond. Talking of money, Tenor, neither of us are exactly flush. We don't know we can afford Dominica's services, do we? That's a very good point. I grabbed Tom by the collar, hauling him gently back into the anteroom. My friend and I need to sell some goods in a hurry, unless your Madame Dominica is given to charity. When that remark had no effect on Tom, I opened my suitcase and showed him some of what was inside. Sell. For cash. Where? That seemed to work.
Green and silver tent, cross market. Say Dominica sent you, you no get the major sting.
Hey, wait a minute! Quirrenbach was halfway through the gash now. I could see into the main room, where a phenomenally bulky woman sat behind a long couch, consulting her fingernails. Medical equipment suspended over the couch on articulated booms, metal glinting in candlelight.
What? Why should I be the guinea pig? I thought you said you needed to have your implants removed as well.
You're right, and I'll be back shortly. I just need to convert some of my possessions into cash. Tom said I could do it in the bazaar. His face turned from incomprehension to fury.
But you can't go now. I thought we were in this together. Traveling companions. Don't betray a friendship almost before it's begun, Tanner.
Hey, calm down. I'm not betraying anything. By the time she's finished with you, I'll have got enough cash together. I clicked a finger towards the fat woman. Dominica! Languidly, she turned to face me, her lips forming a silent interrogative. How long will it take with him?
1 hour, she answered. Dominica, real quick.
I nodded. That's more than enough time, Quirrenbach. Just sit back and let her do her job. He looked into Dominica's face and seemed to calm slightly.
Really? You will be back?
Of course. I'm not stepping into the city with implants still in my head. What do you think I am, insane? But I do need money.
What are you planning to sell?
Some of my own goods, some of the stuff I lifted from our mutual friend Vadim. There's got to be a market for that kind of thing, or he wouldn't have been hoarding it. Dominica was trying to pull him onto her couch, but Quirrenbach was still managing to stay on his feet. I remembered how he had impulsively changed his mind when we began looting Vadim's quarters, at first resisting the theft, then throwing himself enthusiastically into the process. I saw a similar sea change now.
"Damn it," he murmured, shaking his head.
He looked at me curiously, then cracked open his own case, riffling through the sheet music until he reached a set of compartments below it. He fished out some of the experientials he had taken from Vadim.
"I'm no good at bartering anyway. Take these and get a good price on them, Tanner. I'm assuming they'll cover the cost of this."
"You trust me to do that?" He looked at me through squinted eyes.
"Just get a good price."
I took the items and placed them amongst my own. Behind him, the bulky woman hovered across the room like an unmoored dirigible, her feet skimming inches from the ground. She was cradled in a black metal harness, attached to one wall by a complexly jointed pneumatic arm, hissing steam as it articulated and flexed. Rolls of fat disguised the indeterminate region where her head and torso merged. Her hands were spread out as if she was drying recently painted fingernails. Each fingertip vanished into, or possibly became, a kind of thimble. Each thimble was tipped with something medical and specialized.
"No, him first," she said.